All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. And then once you have found that, I want you to turn to Luke, chapter 2. And I'm going to read two passages of Scripture to you. And I want to emphasize something that they have in common with each other and give you a message this morning that I hope will help you and give you a better understanding of what the Lord Jesus did for us when he came 2,000 years ago. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 1. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. And I would ask you to take that and follow along. You never know what I might be trying to pull over on you if you don't follow me out of the Bible. All right? Amen. That's right. So, but if what I'm reading to you from the Bible is true, then you can bank on that. All right? So let's look at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says in verse 18, "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ." Now, there were a lot of Yeshuas. There were a lot of Jesuses. Yeshua. That was a very common name. It means the Lord is salvation. And every other family wanted to name their child. It's the equivalent of Joshua in the Old Testament. All right? And that means the Lord is salvation. And the idea was that everybody was hoping that their son would be the Messiah. And so everybody named their son Yeshua, Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus. But notice Matthew puts Christ on the end of it. That's a title. And the word Christ is Messiah. It's Christos, the Messiah, the anointed one. So to separate this Jesus from the others, Matthew says, now the birth of Jesus, Messiah, was on this wise. Now watch carefully. Here's what I want you to see this morning. When, as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. Notice that. When Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So before they came together as husband and wife, during their espousal period of their marriage, she was great with child. Now look at verse 19. Now Joseph is a grown man and he knows where babies come from. And so now here she is and she's going to have a baby. So naturally in verse 19, Joseph, her husband, notice that, Joseph, her, everybody say it with me, husband. All right, her husband. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. That means to divorce. To divorce her privately. He wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. He wasn't going to embarrass her. He didn't want to make a public spectacle out of her or himself. And so he was going to divorce her privately. But notice, if you will, in verse 1, Mary was, or verse 18, Mary was espoused to Joseph. And verse 19, Joseph was her husband. Do you see that? All right, I'm not adding to the text. I'm reading it like it is. Now go over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and here is another passage of Scripture describing for us the way it was when Jesus was born. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world, the Roman world, should be taxed." All right, it says, "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every man into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Now watch this. "To be taxed." He went to Bethlehem to be taxed. Watch this now. "With Mary." What's it say? "His espoused," what? "Wife." She was his wife, but she was his espoused wife. Now, I'm going to explain all this to you in just a minute. But what I want you to see here in both of these passages of Scripture, in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, we are told that Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now let's pray, and then I'll explain this to you, and you'll see a beautiful picture of what the Lord has done for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the word of God, and I pray that you will bless this morning. We are just so thankful that we have a Bible that we can look at, and folks don't have to come and just listen to what I think, but Father, we can come and open the word of God and know the mind of our God. And Father, I pray that you will bless as the word of God is preached this morning. Give us ears to hear. Help us to understand and to grow as a result of what we hear this morning. We just thank you so much for each person here. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' name and amen. All right, I want you to notice in both of these passages of Scripture, we are told that Mary was espoused to Joseph. The word espoused is an interesting word. If you simply look at the word, all right, so just look at the word. Everybody take a moment and look at the word espoused. You can look at it in Matthew or you can look at it in Luke, whichever one you want to look at it in. You will notice that it has the E in front of it. And that prefix tells us something. First of all, notice the word spouse is in the word. Do you see that? The word spouse is in the word. And the little prefix E in front of the word adds the sense of out, which gives us the proper understanding of the word espoused. Mary, watch now, Mary was just outside of being a spouse. But in the eyes of everyone around her, she was taken. She was a spouse to Joseph. Now, they were not living together as yet as husband and wife, but she was espoused to him. She was just out of being a spouse. Does that make sense? That's where the word comes from. All right, Mr. Noah Webster, in his dictionary, said that the word espoused means to betroth, to promise, to engage in marriage by a written contract. Now, let me explain that to you. Back in Bible times, the customs were different in the Middle East and in the Bible than what they are in our day and in our land. Today, here in our land, the state of Maryland has laws that describe and define marriage. They will tell you in the law what is marriage and what is not. And in the same way, back in Bible times, in Judaism, there was a definition of what marriage was. And one of the things that we notice is that back in Bible times and in Middle Eastern culture, marriage was different than it is today. Back in Bible times, marriages were negotiated between fathers. Now, I'm glad that doesn't work today, aren't you? I mean, come on, think about it. I'm glad that doesn't work today. I mean, what if your dad thought that the ugliest woman in town ought to be your wife? See, things wouldn't go very well, would they? But you see, the woman really had no say, and the man really had no say in the matter. The fathers negotiated the dowry, and they arranged the entire thing. And once an agreement was made and the negotiated price was agreed upon, the fathers would then bring the couple together, and he would introduce them to each other and to their respective families. And then between the fathers, with a handshake and the agreed upon dowry, a hand was offered, a hand was shaken. And at that point, the couple were officially husband and wife. At that point, it would have required a writ, a bill of divorcement, in order for that marriage to be broken. They were married at that point. And what happened next was what is called the espousal period. And it varied. It was different for every couple. What they would do is, as soon as the fathers shook hands, then the groom would leave, and he would go back to his parents' house most of the time. And he would build a room on to their house. And that room was called a huppah, C-H-U-P-P-A-H. It was called a huppah. A lot of young people today, when they get married here in the States, they will want to have a huppah in their wedding. They'll want to have an arch, and they'll stand underneath that, and they call that the huppah, all right? And that's what would happen during this espousal time. That man would go back to his parents' house, and he would build on to their house a building that he and his wife would go and live in. And that would be the place where he and his new bride would dwell together as a family. And during this time, when she was still at her parents' house and he was still at his parents' house and he was working on this huppah, they called that the espousal period. Now, folks, understand this. They were married in the eyes of their peers and under Jewish law during that espousal period. It would take, as we learn here from Matthew 1, it would take a bill of divorcement in order for them to get unmarried. And my point is, the espousal period was viewed as the couple being married to each other. But notice in both of these passages, the Holy Spirit of God wants to make sure that we understand that Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, the issue of the espousal period has become confusing and complicated today. And the reason is because we read the Bible and we try to put our laws and our customs into the Bible and interpret the Bible. And you can't do that. You cannot do that. Our ways are not the way they did it during the Bible time. The issue of espousal has become confusing. In our culture, a couple gets engaged and they set a date and they plan a wedding and then they spend a small fortune in order to become officially husband and wife. But if a couple during their engagement break up, the engagement period is not binding, right? I mean, you can break off the engagement, and you don't need a bill of divorcement in order to do that. So our culture today is different than it was in Bible time. Back in the Bible, in that espousal period, once those fathers shook hands, you were married. You were married. Now, you did not get to live together as husband and wife, and this was the agreement, until a place was built for that girl to live in. No father is going to give his daughter to a man who cannot provide for her. Does that make sense? And so what he does is they agree. Your son is going to build this, all right, and this is how much my daughter is going to cost you. So once the dowry is paid, the agreement is made, they're considered husband and wife. But they cannot live together as husband and wife until he does what he said he will do, and that's build the house so they have some place to live. All right? So that complicates, because we try to put our culture into the Bible. You can't do that, folks. It doesn't make sense if you do it that way. Another issue that complicates this matter is all these Bible versions, or I guess I should say perversions, that have come on the market. All these paraphrases that of the Bible that have flooded the market. For example, in the Living Bible, which is neither living or a Bible, if you want my opinion. But it says this, this is the way Jesus Christ was born. Mary, his mother, was engaged. Was engaged? No. No, she wasn't engaged. They did not have engagements back then. There was no such thing. No, she was espoused. And it says, the Living Bible says, Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, but before they were married. So the Bible here says that they were married. It says that she was his wife, but the Living Bible changes it, paraphrases it, and says that they were engaged, but before they were married. No, excuse me, they were married. It would have taken a bill of divorcement to undo their espousal between the fathers. So that is not what happened, folks. They were not engaged. They were officially married. They were married and in the espousal period. And they were not living together as husband and wife. He was at his parents' building a place for them to dwell in. So this is why it would have taken a bill of divorcement to end their relationship. Now let's take a little closer look at this. Take your Bible, please, and go over to the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. And let me show you this in the Bible. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 1. All right, everybody with me? You understand what I'm saying to you? All right, so they were espoused and they were husband and wife. It was a legal binding contract. When those fathers shook hands, that was it. They were married. All right? So look at chapter 25 in verse 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the," what? Bridegroom. All right, now, what we have here is a parable. A parable. Now, you know what a parable is, right? That is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. It is an illustration. And the Lord Jesus is going to illustrate what heaven and what the second coming is going to be like. And what he's doing here is using an earthly story, something that everybody could identify and would identify with. What is that? A wedding, a marriage. In verse 1, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto. So here's the example of what it's like. And notice that says that these 10 young ladies took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, here's what happened. Here is the bridegroom away from the bride. Why? He's building his huppah. He's building his place for them to dwell. They are in the espousal period right here. So the bridegroom is away. He is coming back to get his bride. She does not know when he's coming. It could be at any time. And they used to have fun with this. She would get her bridesmaids and she would say, "Go check out, see how far along they're getting with the house." And so her bridesmaids would go and they come back and report, "He's almost ready. He's almost ready. Why? He's putting the siding on it now. He's putting a welcome on the door. He's almost ready." And boys, they would get all excited, and she would then go and put her wedding dress on and wait in anticipation that he's going to come at any moment. And the girls would go outside and they would wait, and that's what this parable is about. And they would be watching in the direction that they knew he would be coming in. And when he and his groomsmen got the building finished, they would then come and grab her up and take her out, and man, a big celebration would ensue. Now, look at this. Verse 2, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, notice that, while he didn't come, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Now, they weren't expecting it to happen so quickly. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins, those young ladies, arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather and sell and buy your own." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So there you have an explanation of how weddings were done back in the Bible. And so when it says that Joseph and Mary were espoused, that's exactly what it means. They were in the espousal period. He was preparing a place where they would live in it, and so they were not yet together in a marriage, in a home, as husband and wife. So this is how it worked. She would come to report, that bridesmaid would come to report to the bride and say, You know, he's almost done. It looks like he's ready to come. And so when they spotted him, they would cry, "The bridegroom cometh." And then he would come and take her to the huppah where the marriage was consummated. And for 10 days after that, there was a great celebration and a party to honor the union and the marriage of that happy couple. So folks, that's how an espousal, a marriage worked. Now, does not God refer to the New Testament church as the bride of Christ? Yes, he does. All the way through the New Testament. So often in the New Testament, God speaks of his relationship to his people in the terms of a marriage. It seemed only appropriate that God would refer to his relationship with his people using one of the most intimate of human relationships. God said in Isaiah 54 and verse 5 concerning Israel, "For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name." In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 31, the apostle Paul says, "And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And then Paul added, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church." Folks, isn't that amazing? Paul said the church is the bride of Christ. This is one of the reasons why the Lord hates divorce like he does, because marriage is a symbol of the indissoluble nature of the eternal relationship between Christ and his church. Right now, we are, as the church, in the espousal period. You see, 2,000 years ago, listen carefully now, 2,000 years ago, God sent his only begotten Son into this world. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth looking for a bride. And staying with the picture, the Son of God left his Father's house in heaven and came to this earth, the home of his prospective bride. He came for the express purpose of paying the redemptive price so that he could make her his very own. Jesus, let me put it this way, Jesus came to this earth, listen to me now, to pay the dowry. And what was that dowry? It was death. It was the shedding of his own blood. He came to this world to pay the dowry. And the dowry was, the redemptive price was, his shed blood and death on Calvary's cross. Now, let me take it a step further. Don't forget now that Paul said the church is the bride of Christ. Don't forget, Christ is the groom, church is the bride. Don't forget, Christ paid the dowry 2,000 years ago. He paid the down payment for the church 2,000 years ago. Listen to what John said in Revelation 19:7. John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, when he got the vision of the last days, in chapter 19, verse 7, said that he heard a great multitude. And this multitude said, listen to this, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." You see, folks, Jesus is coming back to this earth soon, I think, to claim his bride. Take your Bible and look at John chapter 14 for just a moment. Everybody, go to John 14 for just a moment. And let me show you what Jesus said in John 14. While you're turning, in chapter 13, Jesus is with the disciples and he's been talking about the cross. And they are distraught. They don't want him to die and go to leave them. And they're upset. And in verse 1, he could look at them and see that they were upset. And so look at what he said. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Watch this now. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare what? A place. You know what he went to prepare? He went to prepare us a hoopah. You say, oh, I thought he was going up there to build mansions. No, read your Bible. The mansions are already there. Nod your heads. You with me? The mansions are already there. He said, in my Father's house are, present tense, many mansions. The Father lives there. Listen, the Father is God Almighty. I would like to think he lives in a mansion, wouldn't you? And so, fulfilling the picture, Jesus said, I'm going to heaven to build on to my Father's mansion. I'm going up there to build a hoopah for you. You with me? And if I go and prepare a place, if I go and build the hoopah, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Folks, he is coming back to get us. Take your Bible once again and go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. And look at what Paul says here. In verse 1, he said, 2 Corinthians 11, 1, he said, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have, what's the next word? Espoused. Yeah, there it is. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Paul says here that the church, and that's us, the church is married to one who paid the price. And brethren, that one who paid redemption's price did so with the shedding of his own blood. And by the way, Christ did shed his blood. He did not spill his blood. He shed his blood. There's a difference between the words, and the word that is used in the Bible is that he shed his blood. If I knocked this cup over and spilled the water, I would say, I spilled this cup. Whoops. Christ did not spill his blood. Whoops. No, he shed his blood on purpose. That was why he came, was to shed his blood for you to pay the redemptive price. Amen. So you could be his bride. Oh my. He did not spill his blood. Oops. No, he shed his blood on purpose to pay the price of redemption from our father, the devil. You see, the devil had a hold of us. John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. But then 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body, now that you're saved, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, folks, right now, here today, we are living in the espousal period. We are living right now in the espousal period. And we are temporarily separated from our groom. And it is our responsibility as his bride to stay faithful and true to him. You see, we don't know when he's coming. We know he's coming. There's too many verses in the Bible to tell us that he's coming for us, but we just don't know when. Just like the bride in Matthew 25 did not know when her groom was coming. We have the promise, a promise after promise, but we don't know exactly when. Oh, Christian, imagine that day is coming. I think sooner than later, we're going to hear the midnight cry. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed and we will join our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in the clouds. And we will go to the hoopah that he has prepared for us. Wow, wow, wow. Pretty cool, huh? So think about it. Think about it. Can you see now why the Holy Spirit went to such great lengths in Matthew and in Luke to tell us that Mary was espoused to Joseph? Can you see now? I mean, I think you can see it. I think you can see how important it was for them and how important it is for us that we guard ourselves so as not to commit spiritual adultery with the world. We want to make sure we remain pure and holy and blameless and spotless and faithful to our Lord while he is away preparing a place for us. Over in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, John said this. He said, and now, little children, abide in him, so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. In other words, we want to be able to hold our head up high. We don't want to be ashamed at his coming. Can you imagine? The cry is made, the bridegroom cometh. And we all go, uh-oh, because we're not ready. I don't know if you all... many of you were here back when we first came here 175 years ago. We had this bulldog, English bulldog, you know, the teeth jutted out, and big old bowed legs, 60 pounds, about that long and about that wide. Just 60 pounds of ugly. Oh, she was ugly. She was the sweetest dog, but just rock ugly. I mean, you looked at her and you went, seriously. You know, I mean, come on, God, this is hilarious. But he made her, man, ugly dog, but sweet as they could be. Now, I'm going to tell you, that dog was just like it's just like having another child in the house. She really was. And that dog, from the time we got her until she died, had one thing on her mind, and that was eating. Just everything was related to the belly, everything. Every decision that dog ever made was a decision about food, seriously. And we would go to church and then forget in our haste to go to church, leave the trash can sitting down, and when we got home, that can was knocked over, trash was everywhere, and that dog would be sitting over in the corner and looking and going like this. And I would walk in, I said, "You get in that trash?" And she would start making her way, trying to get as far away and as far in the corner and behind the furniture she could get, the whole time going like this, just like a kid. And that's what John is saying. Don't be ashamed at his coming. I mean, can you imagine? The bridegroom cometh. Wait a minute. Man, the ball game comes on at 7:45 tonight. Well, who cares? The bridegroom cometh. But wait, you can't come now. Why? I'm going to get my driver's license next week. I've had young people say to me, "Pastor, is it a problem that I don't want the Lord to come back because I want to get married first?" I said, "Why would you want to marry some bozo down here when you can marry him? When you can go to heaven? Huh? I mean, his breath stinks, his feet stink. He got pimples on his face. He loves his mother more than he loves you. What do you want to get married to him for? Don't you want to go to heaven?" Amen. Jesus is coming back, folks. Are you ready? Don't be ashamed at his coming. So wait a minute. I'm not saved yet. Well, you better get saved. If you don't know the Lord, you better know him now. Get that matter settled before it's too late. Because he went to prepare a place. And you know, he's been up there for 2,000 years now. Man, it must be quite a place. And he said, "When I'm done, I'm coming back. And let me show you some signs so you'll know when it's getting close." That's what these girls did. They went over and saw for themselves. They said, "Ooh, it's almost done." And Jesus said, "Let me show you some signs. When you see these things, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh." And folks, we're seeing those signs. We have been seeing them for a long time. He's coming soon. Are you ready?